you little ones. That was a blessing, amen? And showers of blessing. It's a good reminder that God wants to pour those out in our lives. Before we get started, I get started this morning, I want to invite up Brock. Yeah. Come on. Ben and Jill. Why do you have to go?
I don't know.
Because my parents are moving. It's his fault? Oh, so that's the real story. The real story up here. We love this family, amen? And they are going to be deeply, deeply missed. I know many of you have been around them since they've been here. I've had the privilege of being with them for 3.5 years. I'm going to miss you guys. Jill, you're a huge part of this church, Ben too, and Brock. In so many ways, your ministry has been felt, and you've touched countless, countless, countless lives. You're not going to be replaced, but you're going to go forward and continue on ministry and bless more people. And how great will that day be when Jesus is with us?
He needs it worse than me.
Okay. How great will that day be when we're surrounded around that table in heaven with Jesus, reunited again, telling some of those stories about back in Arroyo Grande with the Wootens, Ben and Brock and Jill and Heather. And at this point, I wanted to invite you guys up here just to say thank you, to encourage all of you. And also, I want to invite the elders currently up. If you're an elder here at the local church, come on up, guys. We want to surround you with some love. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray over you. And let's go a little deeper. If you're a friend of the Wootens and you know them, come on up. Let's surround them. This is important. This is special. So come on up. Mighty God, I thank you so much for this Sabbath. And God, we're saddened by the leaving of Ben and Jill and Brock. God, they've been such a blessing in so many ways. Their friendship has been marvelous. God, they've done so many great things here. And they're going to be deeply missed. But Father, I know that you have a mighty plan for them. To prosper them in their marriage, in their home, in their church, in their lives, as Brock gets older too and leads in his life. God, I just pray that you would continue to guide and direct them, that you'd open up doors of ministry for them to be a part of, and new friends, Father, new friends that we'll get to meet in heaven and say, oh, you met the Wootens in Colorado. They're pretty awesome people. God, we love this family, but we know that you love them even more. And God, I just grant them safe traveling mercies. I ask that you continue to just pour out the blessings as the children talked about earlier. Shower them with the blessings, Father, as they go on this journey. And Father, may we be reunited soon with them. And also, we want to be reunited especially in heaven with them, Father. Lord, I pray all this today in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Church family is pretty special. When you get to know someone, you do life with them. It has eternal consequences that are for the good. So, going on to the sermon, we're kind of towards the end of this series that we're doing on health. And today, we're going to be talking about faith and mental health. But I kind of want to go back just for a moment and talk about the first two sermons that I preached. The first one was on Daniel, and it was Dare to be a Daniel, right? Stand up for what God says in all areas of our life. And we focused in on health and dietary choices as well. But we do need to stand up in all areas of our life. The second sermon last week talked about exercising our faith and our bodies, right? Did you all get out and exercise this last week? Come on, raise your hands. Did you get out there? Yeah? Did you sweat? Good, good. You know, exercise and diet and health are so important in the longevity of our lives, but also a clear mind and developing our character for Christ. And next week, I'm going to be talking about the final picture. We're going to go to Revelation, and we're going to look at what it looks like when we have everything together, right? In the end, what's it going to look like? And why is that important? As Bible-believing Christians, what is the end result that we're after, right? Next week, we're going to talk about that. But today, we're going to go into mental health a little bit, and I want to start with a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads. Father God, I know your presence is here this morning, Father, and the angels are surrounding this place. And Lord, as we dig into this topic, which is in the media, it's in our community, Father, you also have a lot to say about mental health and the mind and how important that is. And Father, I pray that each of us would get a glimpse from the Holy Spirit of what it is you have to say about this. Father, I pray all this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to begin with a story, and it happens at the end of Mark chapter 4. The story starts there with Jesus taking the men, he had just done a miracle, taking the men across the lake to the other side where there was a demonic possessed man. You know the story, right? Mark chapter 5 goes into that story a little bit more. And this man lived among what? The tombs, right? People would bind him with chains, and what would happen? He'd break them. He called himself Legion, which meant many. And in the Roman terms, it was a battalion, which was 1,000 men. So, as we consider this biblical story, I want us to recognize gratefully that not every mentally ill person experiences the depth of anguish this man felt. Right? And not every person with mental illness expresses their pain in such scary ways, snapping chains, running after people. But also recognize, regrettably, that many people today never find healing from their suffering like this man did. Because as we know the end of the story, Jesus comes and heals him. Amen? He heals this man who had this list of, quite lengthy list of mental disorders, you could say. You know, even those among us today who don't howl or cut our skin or break chains feel terrorized by thoughts of death, emotions of darkness, and threatened by our very well-being of everyday life at times. We feel that at different times. And since some mentally ill people inflict pain on others, we see that in society, or themselves, we certainly need to be aware of the issues of mental illness that affect us all. And the more informed we are, the more we'll be able to bring about hope and healing. Amen? I think as Christians, number one, we value the sanctity of human life. Amen? Number two, we find healing. We find healing in the Bible for the mind. Right? God promises that in various places. You know, the mind is a powerful thing. And Paul, we're going to talk quite a bit about Paul. We're going to read some of his texts on this morning. But Paul talks about this battle that we have between the spirit and between the flesh, the self, right? And Paul says it's a constant battle. And Paul, being an apostle of Jesus, dealt with this himself. Continually waging this war between the flesh and between the spirit. The struggle is real, right? 2018, the struggle is real as well. You know, I'll never forget, I had a high school Bible teacher, John Spire. Some of you may know the name. And love that guy. And John Spire used to always say this to us. He said, garbage in, garbage out. And I remember this guy in the class that I went to MBA, and he was a student from the community. And he said, Pastor Spire, what do you mean garbage in, garbage out? And John said, well, Steve, when you put stuff in your mind, you internalize it, it becomes sometimes the reality, and then you go out and you act out on those things. So you have to be careful what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're listening to, right? It's not all hoopla and scare tactics, it's the reality, right? And so as Christians, we know this, or we say we know this, But we have to consider what we're putting in here, because it directly and indirectly affects our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouses, our family members, and our church members. So it's crucial that we take note of what is it that we're putting into our minds on a daily basis. Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it uplifting? Or is it the opposite? You know, mental illness is one of the major health problems in our society today. And even I would go as far as to say this, as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, one of the most frustrating situations I've had, and I say situations with an S at the end, is when someone comes into my office, perhaps it's from the community or even the church, or it's a family member or a friend of someone, and mental illness is prevalent, and it's there. It is so difficult to deal with. Because, yes, we have spiritual answers, and I'm going to go over some of those today. But we also have doctors and clinics and other things that can help as well. And we can't dismiss one or the other. We can't say, oh, well, God will heal me from this mind thing I have, and not go to the doctor. Okay? Amen? We have to be wise. We have to say, okay, what can the doctor do for me? How can he help me? But what can I do on a spiritual note, on a daily basis with God? And so I say that with sincerity. I mean, you know, I've dealt with many, many people who've struggled with this, and I've had some positive outcomes and some not so positive. But through it all, I really wish we had more resources as a church to help those people. I have a short list, which if you'd like some of those resources afterwards, I can get them for you. Local area clinics, doctors, and associations that can help with things. But I want to talk about this. Medical science recognizes that emotions such as resentment, fear, hatred, sorrow, envy, all have something to do with the majority of our sicknesses. Yeah? Yep. Okay. And some of those sicknesses, some of them, I'm just listed a few, okay, have to do with depression, which is probably the most prevalent, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and suicide. Suicide. Can everybody get their smartphone out for me real quick? Go ahead. Pull out your smartphone. Come on. Pull it out. Okay, pull it out. Okay. And here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you, and I'm being serious, okay? You're not gonna actually call anybody, okay? Get out your smartphone, and I want you to put in this number. I know it's hard to read, and I'm sorry about that. Okay, I want you to add a new contact in your phone. I'm serious about this. Serious. 1-800, I'm going to do it too. Here, hang on a second. Contacts. Don't call it, whoever's doing that. Okay? I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. Don't call the number. Create contact. Phone. I'll do it with you here. Select. Okay. Do you really? 1-800-273-8255. Put it in there. And what it is, you can write suicide prevention hotline. Now, it's not a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. Because the news, in the last month, three very famous people have done this. And here's the thing. You may be sitting there going, well, Pastor, I don't ever have thoughts of harming myself. Well, that's good. But you know what? Somebody around you might. And when they do, here's what you're going to do. You're going to pull out your phone. You're going to text them this number and say, hey, could you call this number? They'll help you. It's a serious matter. Because so often I'm on the other side as a pastor with the funeral. And people saying, oh, I wish I would have done something. I wish I could have done something. You know, this is such a serious matter that my wife was telling me that in the hospital where she works in Santa Maria at Marion, they have a questionnaire for the postpartum department. And the last question on that questionnaire is, have you ever thought about hurting yourself? Did you know that if they put anything besides no, the next person that comes in that room is a psychiatrist? It's that serious. It's that serious. And so I'm being serious with this. Now you have it in your phone. I mean, I got to put the name in really quick. Because I didn't put it in my phone. I wrote it down. Prevention hotline. You know, one of my best friends, and I should probably try to get him down here. He's moving to Pendleton. He's a chaplain in the Navy. And he was just ranked the number one suicide prevention class in the Navy. Up in Washington State, and he's moving down to Camp Pendleton, and he does this for a living. He goes around and he teaches people about suicide prevention. So pretty much everything I've said about suicide I got from him. But it's a serious problem today. So now that you have that, I'm glad you have that now. But I want to just read this. Health is the state of complete physical, right? We talked about that. Mental, we're talking about that today. And social, not forgetting spiritual, well-being, and not merely the absence of what? Disease, right? So there are mental illnesses that you can prevent or lessen the effects of. And the Bible provides helpful information on what God says, or how we should think, I guess you could say, and how our minds can work. So if we want good mental health, we have to discipline our minds, just like we discipline our bodies and our plates, right? To avoid a degrading mental diet. And here's the thing. We live in a culture that's constantly feeding us stress. It's constantly feeding us negative information. That can be overwhelming. And it can be worrisome, which worry is a form of fear. You know, in our age of anxiety, we all know what it means to feel emotionally fatigued, physically drained, and spiritually defeated. And the Bible says, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Mercy. I mean, if I'm always down on myself and I'm negative, that's going to have a consequence, an action to how I act and how I behave. It can. That's what the Bible's saying in Proverbs, right? In fact, in Genesis 6:5, we're not going to go there, but God destroyed an entire civilization because of their thoughts of life. In Genesis 6:5, it says that man only thought about himself, didn't think about God anymore. Here's the thing, if we dwell on negative things, guess what? We're going to feel depressed, right? Our emotions are a result of how we interpret life. You get that? Our emotions are a result of how we interpret life. And that's one reason the Bible says in Romans 8:6, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Amen? The fact is our emotions are controlled by our thoughts. And to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life. You know, many New Testament passages offer comfort and reassurance for those feeling anxious or stressed. And Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious. I know that because this is what he said in Matthew. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Right? You know, when Jesus said, "Never be anxious," he was advising his disciples to avoid undue worry. You guys worry? I'm the only one. You know, here's the thing. An excessive fear of tomorrow can take the joy out of living for today. You know? And Jesus gave a compelling reason for avoiding undue anxiety, and it is this. It's useless. That worry, that anxiety, it's useless. In fact, he goes on, and he says this in Matthew 6:27, "Who of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his lifespan?" said Jesus. Focusing on our worries won't extend our life by even a fraction of a second. In fact, it does the opposite, science tells us. Besides, things don't often turn out the way we feared. One scholar put it this way: "Worry about the future is wasted effort, and the future of reality is seldom as bad as the future of our fears." That's right. So, how can we avoid anxiety? How can we avoid worry as Christians? Get more sleep. Eat fruits and veggies. Run. There you go. Trust in God. Thank you, Thad. Trust in God. You know, a relationship with God is fundamental to overcoming our anxieties and our fears. Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." How great of a promise is that? I got one amen. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." When life gets rocky, when the doctor's report comes back that's not good, when you get in an argument with somebody, when you're stressed out, do you realize that Jesus offers you his peace? What a good reminder. What a wonderful reminder of Jesus and what he offers us. He goes on in John, he says, "Trust in God, also trust in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you so," he goes on. In other words, I'm leaving you this peace, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. You may not be able to afford to build a custom home here, but guess what? God has one in heaven for you. And it's better than anything you could ever imagine. Paul said this. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything." He's piggybacking off of what Jesus said. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." This is coming from a man who, at the time he wrote this, was imprisoned and not feeling very good, not knowing what his fate would be. Yet he says, don't be anxious. Sometimes I get upset and worried that certain things at the grocery store are out of stock. And here Paul's in prison, not knowing what his life's going to hold, the outcome of it. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry, because God has your back. God has your back. You know, I want to just highlight quickly Paul's 5-point plan for better mental health. Paul talks about this in Philippians. If you turn to Philippians, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. And I want to read it here. This is probably one of the best chapters to go to. If you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling depressed, if you know someone who is, this is a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous chapter. Here's what it says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul really encapsulates the clarity of the mind here in Philippians. And I just want to go over these 5 points with you all this morning. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Should we all sing now? You know, Paul says rejoice sometimes, right? No. He says rejoice always. Rejoice always. You know, if you love somebody, the thing that you want more than anything else is that person's presence. Right? Am I right? And man's chief end is to glorify God. Right? When we honor God, we celebrate Him as the source from which all goodness flows. Everything. The psalmist says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How's the rejoicing going in your life? How's it going? Think about that. Are you rejoicing in all situations, with work, with home, maybe school, health, bills, septic tanks? Thank you for that reminder. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. You know, in the book Ministry of Healing, it says this, and there's a whole chapter in there. Actually, there's two chapters on mental health. Nothing tends more to promote health of the body and soul than does a spirit of gratitude and praise. There you go. So the question becomes is, you know, God wants us to come ask Him things. Paul says that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But there's something to be said about going and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Saying, God, you're so good. Thank you for the amazing things that you've done in my life, in the church, in somebody's life. thank you, thank you, thank you. Number two, Paul alludes to relying on the power of the Lord. The text says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, right? You know, I thought by now, in my 30s, that I would have learned this lesson. Oh, but I'm still learning. Still learning to rely on Him and not worry about the situations in my life. I don't know about you, but you know, when I encounter something big, maybe it's buying a house or paying off a school debt or dealing with a child's illness or marriage problems. So one of those things, you know, maybe it's something else for you. My instinct isn't always to rely on the power of God. I'm being honest. My instinct sometimes is, well, how can I fix this? If I tell the mortgage people this, and my real estate agent says this, then everything should line up, right? And God's going, hey, yo, I'm here. I've got this under control. You're worrying, Josh. And worry is not good because it leads to sickness and other problems. Can you trust me? Yeah, I can trust you, God. I can trust you. You know, Psalms 29:11 says, may the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. We have to learn day by day to rely on the power of Jesus. Amen? And here's the thing. However great our problem is today, understand that God, the Lord, is greater than our problem. Amen? Paul in prison, chained up, said this. So God has it under control. He's bigger than imprisonment. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than debt. Because no matter what happens, God can get us to the other side. Right? There's no problem He can't solve. There's no need He can't supply. There's no misery He can't relieve. Yet we go through life as professed believers, sometimes worrying. Maybe getting premature gray hair. I don't know. Not realizing always that God has the answer. God has the ability and God has the power to perform in our lives, in our situations. The third thing is remembering the provision of the Lord. This is probably my favorite one. The text says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. You know, we sometimes forget, I mentioned, that God can deliver us from situations and help us in situations and give us that peace. But we also tend to forget how God has acted in the past. How He's healed, how He's moved, how He's answered prayers. And Paul here says, don't forget what God has done in the past. Remember how God has worked in the past. Not just in our life, but in those who have gone before us, right? Hebrews 11 alludes to those great pioneers, if you will, that went before us, and men and women of faith, and walked the walk and talked the talk. But what do you do when you're just so overwhelmed in life? And you're even having a hard time remembering the past. I love the Ministry of Healing has a quote that says this. This is what you do. Often your mind may be so clouded because of pain. Don't try to think. There's an interesting thought. Don't try to think, really? You know that Jesus loves you. Amen. He understands your weakness. You may do His will by simply resting in His arms. See, we don't always have to have the answers to life's problems, to the heartaches, to the troubles. But we have to have the assurance that Jesus is in control and we can go lay in His arms. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't worry. Just know that I love you. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great are the things he has done for you. Mercy. Number four, rest in the peace of the Lord. You know, the text says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. You know, rest is, I think, one of the greatest gifts God has given to mankind. One of the greatest gifts God has given. And it's synonymous to peace. The dictionary word for rest is quiet, calmness, tranquility, peacefulness, serenity, and stability. And Jesus comes to give us peace. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your soul. I think the greatest possession that we seek our entire lives is God's rest, which is synonymous with peace. Because when we have that, when we truly have that, our mind and our heart are at rest. Life seems a little easier. The last thing that I want to mention is, and Paul mentions, is to reflect on the plan of the Lord. Reflect on the plan of the Lord. The text says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting them into practice, all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. You know, God's plan at creation was a good plan. Amen? It was a good plan. And God, some people refer to God's plan as today as God's will. And rightly so, because in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future. Right? Mighty plans. Seeing how God has acted in the past, remembering what he's done, but also looking to the future on what God has for us in store. Right? And you know, it's kind of hot in here. Don't worry, I'm almost done. What is that? A what? No. It's a guy standing by some water, and it's his reflection. Why am I showing you that? Well, here's the thing. The Bible tells us that our purpose as believers is to be conformed into God's image so that we can reflect his characteristics in all that we do. God doesn't just want us to have a revelation of Christ. He wants us to be a reflection of him. Each of our lives is to be a reflection of Christ. I love how Paul, if you go back two chapters in Philippians 2, it's that key verse, which I'm going to talk about next week a little bit more. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's some heavy stuff. Paul, you're saying that I can have the mind of Christ? Yes. You mean my thoughts and my actions and my thoughts, and then my actions will be because Christ has indwelt in here? Do you agree with that, or are you just ready for lunch? Right? Both, okay. You know, God is eternal, and so is His plan. And God's plan is a mystery because it's the product of a divine mind of God and not the finite mind of man. So, therefore, we have to live by faith, trusting God's promises even when present circumstances seem to contradict them. And this is why Paul says, fix your thoughts on what's true, what's honorable, what's right, what's admirable, what's pure, what's lovely. And those who constantly apply these positives will practice positive thinking, a habit crucial to mental health. The characteristics of an optimistic mind include the ability to focus on positive things when negative seems to be overwhelming. As we begin to undertake these steps, our mental health outlook and our health improves, and gradually serenity becomes deeper and more stable reality for us. It's really a component put together that makes up our character. It makes up our ability to think and make coherent decisions. And it does involve what we put into our stomachs. It does involve what we do with our muscles and our hearts. But it also involves what we do with our mind. As I talked about in sermon number one, we have soul care here in the church. And that soul care isn't just spiritual, because those other things I just mentioned have a lot to do with our spirituality, can have a lot to do with our spirituality. So we need to be wise in the choices that we make revolving around those things. You know, I'm going to end with a prayer today, and I'm going to invite Oscar up here in just a moment. I've mentioned a lot of mental health challenges. I've mentioned suicide, hurting yourself. I've mentioned depression, anxiety, worry. You know, these are all real things. 1 in 3 people suffer from depression. So turn to your left or right. Somebody probably has or is or will. And as a church, I don't have the resources necessarily to sit and go through, or the training to go through and cure or help facilitate through those medical situations. But I want to help spiritually. Amen. That's what we're here for. We want to pray for you. We want to guide you, because we do have resources, to somewhere or somebody that can help. And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's somebody that you know that needs help. What I want to tell you today before I close is that myself and Oscar will be available. If you just want to come talk to us, if you want us to pray with you or for somebody in your family, come talk to us. We'll be up front here. But as soon as I'm done praying, Leonard will lead us out with some music, and people can file out. But I want to give you the opportunity, because it is a current issue that we face in the church and in society today. So let us pray. Oh God, it's marvelous when we step back and we really look at what it is You've made from clay. It's not just flesh, but we're beings that can think, that have free will, but that can also be a part of Your divine nature. God, that's pretty amazing. It's wonderful. And God, as we've gone through this focus on health this month, as we've looked at diet, as we've looked at choices that we make and standing for what we believe, and as we've looked at exercise and now mental health, Father, we're realizing that these things all correspond and correlate with one another. And Father, we want to give you permission to have our hearts and our minds as we go forward, to continually build that trust in you and with you, so that our faith would increase, so that we would be walking and talking billboards about how good Jesus is and about how you want to know the people in our community and our family. Father, as we leave today, I pray that the rest of the Sabbath hours are sweet. And Father, I pray we can think about these things. And when someone's in need, Father, I pray that we have the tools to guide them to somebody that can help. And Father, we know you as the master physician and the creator can do amazing things. And Father, as we close today, I want to ask a blessing to you on the hike and the bike ride that we're going to have this afternoon at Avila. Pray for safety for that as well. And God, what sweet fellowship we've been having here in the last few months. And thank you for that. I pray all this today in Jesus' name.